Imagine building a perfectly secure offline AI fortress right on your laptop.
Right.
You know, you have an autonomous agent writing pristine code for your proprietary app. It's processing user audio in real time, and it is completely off the grid.
You feel like an absolute wizard when you pull that off.
Exactly, you do. But then you zoom out, right? And you realize the silicon powering that local fortress was, well, financed by a $2.5 billion international smuggling ring.
Yeah, that is a pretty jarring reality check.
And the code it was trained on is currently the subject of a foundational legal war. I mean,
Really?
if you are a developer, a researcher, or just a tech builder out there today, the localized AI revolution you are participating in is colliding violently with massive geopolitical reality.
That tension, honestly, that is the defining characteristic of the tech landscape right now.
Yeah.
We are seeing incredible micro-level empowerment for the individual builder, but it's stacked on top of a macro-level foundation that is entirely fracturing.
It's cracking.
Yeah, it is a very strange time to be writing software.
Which is exactly why we are here. Welcome to today's deep dive. We are taking the stack of updates from today's Atmic News, that's the Tech and AI Daily Newsletter for March 21st, 2026, and we are extracting the pure signal from the noise.
We got a lot of noise today.
So much noise. But our mission is to look at the mechanical, logistical, and legal realities of these updates and show you how they directly impact your workflow.
Because they absolutely will impact it.
Right. Okay, let's unpack this. Starting with what feels like a massive power shift toward local developer-controlled tools.
Yeah, the headline story today is Open Code.
Yes, open code. So this is an AI coding agent built by a team called Anomaly. And Anomaly is a group of ex-AI startup founders, right?
Correct, yeah, some very heavy hitters.
And they just made this thing fully open source. Like, it's clearly targeting GitHub Copilot, but the differentiator isn't just, you know, slightly better benchmark scores.
No, not at all. The big deal is that it runs completely locally.
With absolutely zero telemetry.
None.
Ah.
Zero.
Which I love. It is essentially a digital Faraday cage for your proprietary code base. Like, nothing leaks out.
What's fascinating here is the mechanism of trust being deployed. I mean, for the last few years, the standard operating procedure was basically a trade-off.
Right. You give them your data, they give you the tool.
Exactly. You give a massive cloud provider access to your prompt history, your code snippets, and in exchange, they give you really good autocomplete functionality.
But if you are an enterprise developer, right, working on core proprietary algorithms.
Yeah, sending your crown jewels to a third-party server isn't just a privacy concern anymore. It's legitimately a breach of fiduciary duty.
Oh, for sure. You're handing over the company's IP.
Right. So zero telemetry means no usage data, no analytics, no ghost calls home, nothing.
Wow.
The model weights live entirely in your local memory, and the inference happens entirely on your local silicon.
I have to play devil's advocate here, though.
Okay, go for it.
When a team of ex-startup founders drops a highly capable agent for free, my immediate cynical assumption is that they are just treating the developer community as unpaid QA testers.
That is usually how it goes, yeah.
Right. Like, isn't Anomaly just gathering a massive user base before they lock all the best features behind some giant enterprise paywall?
You would normally assume that, but the licensing structure they released it under, it completely prevents a rug pull.
Really? How so?
They open source the entire orchestration layer, not just a, crippled community edition.
Yeah.
And if we look at the timing of the release, it reveals their actual strategy.
Okay, yes, the timing is wild. OpenCode dropped this open source bomb just one day after OpenAI announced their acquisition of Astral.
Exactly.
And just to clarify for everyone, Astral was building cloud-based multi-agent orchestration, right?
Correct. So OpenAI acquiring Astral is a massive move toward consolidation.
Right.
It pulls highly advanced agentic behavior into a closed, monetized, completely cloud-dependent ecosystem.
Building the walled garden higher.
Exactly. So Anomaly releasing open code 24 hours later, that is a highly strategic
What do
counterfunch.
I say?
They are trying to establish a local first standard before those walled gardens become inescapable. They are betting the developers want to actually own their infrastructure, not just rent it.
And developers are clearly taking that bet. Which brings up the second massive update in today's stack, LangChain Open SWE.
Oh, this one is huge.
Yeah, this repo just hit 640 stars on GitHub in a single day. It is literally the repo of the day. And it's fundamentally changing how we interact with these tools because it is an asynchronous coding agent.
That shift from synchronous to asynchronous is critical. I mean,
Right.
we are officially moving past the era of Hyper Advanced Autocomplete.
Right. Autocomplete implies I'm still typing.
Yeah. LangChain OpenSWE represents true delegation.
The way I'm reading the documentation, it's not an autocomplete driving your car. It's more like a Roomba for your code base.
I love that analogy.
Right. Because you handed a Jira ticket, it bumps into a syntax error, turns around, updates its internal map of your files, and then tries another route, completely unattended.
That Roomba analogy is incredibly accurate because it highlights the biggest technical hurdle they had to solve, which is context management.
Context window limits are the bane of every developer's existence right now.
Right. Think about it. If an AI agent attempts to fix a bug and it writes 100 lines of bad code, gets an error log, and then feeds that error log back into its prompt to try again,
it's just going to flood its own context window.
Very quickly. Mm. It hallucinates, it loses track of the original goal, and it crashes.
It just suffocates in its own garbage data.
Yes, exactly. Mm. So how does LangChain OpenSWE solve this? It maintains a state tree.
Okay.
It doesn't just append every single failure to its active memory. If it goes down a rabbit hole of bad code, it recognizes the loop. It prunes that branch from its active context window and then rolls the repository back to a known working state before trying a new approach.
Oh, wow. So it's managing its own memory.
It actively manages its own memory limitations.
Yes.
You aren't pair programming anymore. You are reviewing pull requests generated by a self-contained engineering loop running directly on your local machine.
But here is the catch. To run a Roomba in your code base, you need an engine that doesn't just, you know, melt your laptop battery.
Yeah, compute is the bottleneck.
If you try to run thousands of asynchronous loops through a premium cloud API, you will go bankrupt in an afternoon.
Absolutely.
The economics of asynchronous agents absolutely require local, highly efficient foundational models.
Which is a perfect bridge to the local llama boon we are seeing in the second part of today's stack.
Yes. Here's where it gets really interesting, because the most significant foundational model update today didn't come with like a glossy corporate launch event or a huge press release.
No, not at all.
GLM 5.1, which is a new model from Zipu AI, just dropped completely unannounced on Reddit.
Just dropped a link and walked away.
Yeah. And early reports from developers are buzzing about major improvements in complex reasoning and code generation. But, okay, I don't understand the strategy here.
What do you mean?
Companies spend literally millions of dollars training these models. Why drop the weights on Reddit like an underground mixtape? It feels like terrible marketing.
It's actually the ultimate form of marketing because traditional PR benchmarks are basically dead.
Dead.
Yeah. The developer community views corporate published benchmarks with extreme skepticism right now. I mean, if a lab says their new model scored a 90 on a standard reasoning test, the immediate assumption is that the test data was accidentally or intentionally included in the training data.
Ah, so the model didn't reason through it. It just memorized the answers.
It evaluated itself and declared itself the winner. That's precisely the problem.
That makes sense.
But when you drop the raw model weights onto a subreddit dedicated to local AI, you are submitting your work to the most ruthless real-time peer review on the planet.
Right, because people are going to try to break it immediately.
Exactly. Developers immediately quantize the model, which means they compress it so it fits into consumer hardware, and then they run it against their own highly obscure, completely undocumented code bases.
Code it couldn't possibly have memorized.
Exactly. If GLM 5.1 genuinely improves reasoning, the community validates it within hours. It builds an authentic, unassailable credibility that a PR firm simply cannot buy.
Wow. And it's not just reasoning models that are getting this treatment right. The audio processing capabilities are accelerating at a terrifying speed.
Oh, it's wild what's happening in audio.
Today's stack also highlights Qwen 3.5. Someone just released a new community merge of this model that is completely outperforming Whisper Large V3.
Which has been the absolute gold standard for audio transcription.
Right. But here's the crazy part. It is achieving 17 to 18 tokens per second while running on a consumer-grade RTX 3060 graphics card.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, that metric of 18 tokens per second completely alters the product landscape.
Because it crosses the threshold of human speech.
Yes. Most people speak at roughly, 3 to 4 words per second.
Okay.
Which loosely translates to around 5 to 7 tokens. So if a local model running on a mid-range gaming GPU from a few years ago can process and generate 18 tokens per second.
You are way ahead of the speaker.
You have achieved real-time, zero-latency duplex audio. You can build a voice assistant that interrupts you, understands nuance, and responds instantly without ever pinging a server.
So if I'm building a transcription app, my biggest variable cost, which is paying an API provider for every minute of audio processed, just dropped to literally zero.
Assuming your user has the hardware on their desk, yeah.
Yeah.
Zero.
And we are seeing builders capitalize on this immediately. Look at Tax Hacker, which also trended on GitHub today.
I saw that one.
Yeah, it's an LLM-powered receipt analyzer with custom categorization. It uses these highly capable local models to process your financial documents offline, because nobody wants to send their tax receipts to a public cloud API to be ingested into some future training run.
Definitely not.
And now they don't have to.
Tax Hacker is really the culmination of everything we've discussed so far. You combine an asynchronous orchestration layer, a localized reasoning model like GLM 5.1, and run it all in an offline environment.
Right.
You achieve enterprise-grade automation with absolute data sovereignty.
You feel invincible. You have your Faraday cage, your autonomous agents, your real-time audio. But let's talk about the physical reality that allows any of this to exist.
Yeah, let's talk about the hardware.
Because while it's amazing that we can compress these models to run on an RTX 3060 on our desks, actually training a foundational model like GLM 5.1 requires tens of thousands of highly specialized enterprise-grade chips.
Running in massive data centers.
Exactly. And today's Atomic News Stack includes a massive reality check regarding the supply chain that builds those data centers.
The transition from the ethereal world of software to the brutal reality of physical hardware is really jarring. But it's the most important dynamic in tech right now.
So what does this all mean? We've got a massive report from Forbes today detailing a scandal at Supermicro.
This is a huge story.
Their shares have plunged 25% today. A co-founder has just been charged in a $2.5 billion smuggling plot involving AI chips. And I have to admit, my first thought when reading this was just logistical confusion.
How do you hide it?
Right. How do you physically smuggle $2.5 billion worth of enterprise compute? It's not like stuffing a couple of graphics cards into a backpack and walking across a border.
No, we are talking about industrial scale logistics. This involves thousands of massive, incredibly heavy server racks.
So how does it happen?
The mechanism of this kind of smuggling relies on a complex web of shell corporations and falsified end-user certificates. You legally export a massive shipment of hardware to a neutral third-party country, usually under the guise of, like, agricultural tech infrastructure or standard telecom upgrades.
Oh, wow. So it looks completely legitimate on paper.
Completely. But once it arrives, it is repackaged, the digital identifiers are wiped or spoofed, and it is quietly rerouted to embargoed buyers or unauthorized data centers.
And Supermicro isn't just a peripheral player in this. They build the actual server architecture that houses the chips from companies like NVIDIA and AMD. They are the physical backbone.
Which is why a 25% stock drop and a federal indictment of a co-founder sends absolute shockwaves through the entire ecosystem. The physical infrastructure of AI is highly centralized. It's heavily regulated by export controls, and it's painfully constrained by manufacturing bottlenecks.
Right.
We treat compute like an infinite resource.
Yeah.
As developers, we just type spin up another instance into a terminal.
Yeah.
But there is a physical ceiling, and we are hitting it hard.
I want to bring this down to the desk of the listener, though, because if you're listening to this, you're probably building software.
Sure.
If OpenAI or Anthropic has to delay their next massive model because the supply chain is tied up in federal investigations, why should the developer running a local model on her laptop actually care?
Because the hardware market is fully interconnected.
Well,
when the enterprise supply chain is compromised, the cost of compute skyrockets globally.
Oh, I see.
The AI labs get desperate, and they start buying up consumer-grade hardware to build makeshift training clusters.
Yeah.
Suddenly, that RTX 3060 you wanted to buy to run your local Quian audio model, it triples in price on the secondary market.
That makes total sense. They price out the little guy.
Furthermore, the cadence of open weight releases depends on labs having a surplus of compute. If compute becomes fiercely scarce, nobody's going to spend millions training a model just to drop it on Reddit for free.
They'd have to monetize it.
Right. The local ecosystem starves without that massive hardware surplus.
It is a sobering thought. The entire local software revolution is built on a physical fault line of contested silicon. But, you know, as if the hardware supply chain wasn't fragile enough, today's stack shows us that the data and research pipelines are also fracturing.
But the chips are just the engine. The data is the fuel. And the rules governing that fuel are being rewritten as we speak.
We have two major updates here. First, the Free Software Foundation, the FSF, has officially finalized a legal settlement in the Anthropic copyright lawsuit.
Yes.
And this officially sets a legal precedent for how training data can be used. Now, let me stop you there, because I thought the GPL and decades of open source licenses already govern this. Like, if code is open source, it's open source. Why do we need a whole new legal settlement?
This raises an important question. What actually constitutes use in the age of neural networks?
Okay, what do you mean?
Well, for the last 30 years, open source licenses like the GPL were designed to govern the distribution and modification of human-readable code. If you take my open source software, alter it, and sell it, the license dictates exactly what you owe me.
Right, attribution or share-alike rules.
Exactly. But those licenses never anticipated a machine literally reading the code millions of times to adjust statistical weights in a massive matrix.
So the act of ingestion wasn't legally defined at all.
Exactly the issue.
Yeah.
The FSF settlement creates a vital new legal mechanism. It finally differentiates between distribution and ingestion. It establishes strict boundaries on whether a model's weights can be legally distributed if they were trained on copyleft code without attribution. And this isn't just abstract legal theory. It directly impacts the developer building tools today.
Give me an example of how that hits the developer.
Sure. If you are building a fine-tuned local coding model for your company, the legal status of the repositories you scrape to train it is now bound by these emerging rules. You could inadvertently taint your entire proprietary code base if your local agent was trained on legally contested data.
Wow. The lawyers are literally rewriting the rules of the tech stack.
They absolutely are.
And alongside the lawyers, the academic institutions are fundamentally restructuring too. The final piece of today's news comes from the journal Science. ArcSIF, which is the massive preprint server where virtually all AI research is published, has declared independence.
This is a long time coming.
They are breaking away from Cornell University after 35 years. But why now? Couldn't Cornell just, I don't know, buy more server space to host the PDFs?
It has nothing to do with server space and everything to do with institutional agility. I mean, ArcSIF is the central nervous system of global AI development.
For sure.
It is where researchers publish their findings months before formal peer review ever happens, which is why the field advances at such a blistering pace right now. But the sheer volume of AI research has basically broken the traditional academic infrastructure.
How so? Like, what's breaking?
Well, Cornell is a traditional university. It moves at the speed of academia, which is slow. ArcSIF is currently dealing with a fire hose of thousands of complex, highly technical papers every single week.
Oh, wow.
To manage that, they need to build entirely new infrastructure, potentially utilizing automated LLM-driven peer review pipelines just to triage the incoming submissions.
They need AI to review the AI papers.
Exactly. And they need to secure massive independent funding models and rewrite the rules of how research data, which directly informs the architecture of tomorrow's models, is accessed. By becoming independent, ArcSIF can operate more like a fast-moving tech infrastructure company and less like a legacy university library.
So we are looking at a total restructuring of the foundation. The legal framework for training data is being redefined by the FSF. The distribution pipeline for the actual science is breaking away from traditional academia, and the physical hardware required to run any of this is embroiled in billion-dollar smuggling rings.
Yeah, the institutions that guard the knowledge and the physical supply chains that process it are transforming just as rapidly as the agents we are running on our laptops.
Which brings us to the ultimate synthesis of today's deep dive. If you are sitting at your desk today, your workflow is a study in contradictions.
Definitely.
On one hand, you possess unprecedented individual power. You can deploy open code to build an offline fortress. You can utilize LangChain Open SWE to manage a self-correcting asynchronous AI engineering team right inside your code base.
All for free, mostly.
Right. You can pull GLM 5.1 off a Reddit post for complex reasoning or achieve real-time voice transcription with Qwen 3.5 on your consumer hardware. You can completely bypass the expensive, privacy-invading cloud APIs that dominated the landscape just a few years ago.
The technical constraints on the individual builder have practically vanished.
Yet, the macro-level volatility surrounding that builder has never been higher. You are relying on a highly centralized hardware ecosystem where $2.5 billion worth of chips are illicitly diverted, which threatens the availability and cost of the very silicon you need.
Right.
And you are building on an intellectual digital ecosystem where the legal definitions of open source, copyright, and academic publishing are actively being torn down and rebuilt from scratch.
Which leaves us with a critical underlying tension to consider as we close.
Okay, let's hear it.
If the open source software we love so much relies on models that are trained under brand new, entirely untested legal mechanisms, and if the creation of those models requires hardware that is plagued by fragile, centralized, and sometimes illicit supply chains, how truly independent can local AI ever be?
That is the perfect question to leave hanging in the air. You might have total control over your local machine and your digital Faraday cage, but the materials you use to build it are deeply entangled in a chaotic, physical, global system. It's a reality every developer, researcher, and builder needs to keep in the back of their mind as they spin up these new local models. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive into today's stack. Keep building, keep questioning the ecosystem around you, and we will catch you on the next deep dive.